In 2015, a woman by the name of Sharon Tirabassi was a single mother riding the bus, living in a rental situation and working part-time to make ends meet. That was in 2015, but back in 2004, however, Sharon was the lucky recipient of a $10 million lottery jackpot. So she immediately went from living on welfare to having really an obscene amount of money. Sharon quickly got busy spending her winnings on a big house and fancy cars and designer clothing and lavish parties and these exotic trips, and she gave money to relatives and made loans to all kinds of friends that she never knew that she had before she won the lottery. It took her about 10 years, but she blew through the money, about $1 million a year, and then was back to where she was riding the bus. Now, when I read stories like that, I think to myself, well, I would never do that. It never happened to me, Lord, so go ahead and let me, you know, win the lottery. But statistics actually suggest that a full 70% of people who win large lottery jackpots end up completely broke in just a few years. 70%. Our first reading today centers on Solomon, who was himself an incredibly wealthy king. In a sense, he won the lottery because he obtained his wealth by the happenstance of birth. He didn't, earn this. He was born into it. And on becoming king, he could have spent foolishly and selfishly, but instead we are told that he valued his friendship with God more than riches and gold. And that friendship with God gave him a clarity of mind and heart that is called wisdom. This is not wisdom related to education, knowledge of philosophy, mathematics, or science. It is, again, having a clear mind and heart which flows from friendship with the Lord. So I have this friendship and this intimacy with the Lord, and from that comes clarity of mind and heart. And it was wisdom that allowed Solomon to value his friendship with God over his many possessions. He said, in fact, "When wisdom came to me, I preferred her to scepter and throne," symbols of absolute sovereignty, "and deemed riches nothing in comparison with her, nor did I liken any priceless gem to her, because all gold in view of her is a little sand." The point is that without wisdom, riches and wealth and the things of this world will turn against us, which is why many people who win the lottery often end up destitute and with lots of broken relationships. But it's important to note that wisdom is not just for all of those who have incredible wealth. Wisdom is necessary for all of the rest of us, because we can all live at the level of our senses and just stay at the level of our senses. All of us can get stuck at the level of the body. And without the clarity of mind and heart that comes from a friendship with God, we're susceptible to being in the grip of our possessions, our senses, the secular influences of our world. It's important to note that there's nothing intrinsically wrong with money or possessions. We all like them. I do. We like our creature comforts. It's just that their influence or grip on our lives can sometimes be too tight, and that perhaps at times they need to be loosened a bit, which is why the church has in her repertoire of spiritual discipline the practice of fasting. Fasting loosens the grip that food and drink may have on our lives. Fasting loosens the grip that sensual and bodily pleasure may have on our lives. On Monday night, I returned late from my trip to France. And as I think about wisdom as it relates to my travel, I think about really a tale of two cities that I visited. So Lourdes was the first, and at the grotto there, and throughout what they call the sanctuary, which is acres of grounds and stations of the cross. And as I witnessed the hundreds of people who were there, and I stepped back and watched them as I was praying and meditating, I saw people filled with wisdom. I saw people who had a clarity of mind and heart that flowed from their relationship with the Lord. And they struck me as people who were, at least in that moment, detached from sensual and bodily pleasure. I was able to see in them people who were united in their detachment from things and united in their love for the Lord and the Blessed Virgin Mary. However, I also spent some time in Bordeaux, France. Bordeaux is a city that, if you take in the metropolitan area, there's about 1 million people, many or most of whom were baptized Catholic. Bordeaux is a vibrant port city. And right through the heart of Bordeaux is this wide boulevard about the width of Riverside out front. This wide paved boulevard that goes to the heart of the city, reserved just for pedestrians. And there's always thousands of people strolling down this boulevard amidst the restaurants and high-end clothing shops and trendy bars and European shoe stores. And the cathedral that's in Bordeaux looks like a stereotypical ancient medieval massive cathedral. As I looked in the cathedral, I thought to myself, I think we could place this cathedral inside of the Bordeaux Cathedral. And I was looking for Mass on Sunday, and I found out that at the Bordeaux Cathedral, the Cathedral of Bordeaux, 1 million people in the area, one Mass. They only had one Mass on Sunday. And as I was there looking around, about 200 people, so maybe even less than we have here this morning at this one Mass, I was probably one of the youngest in the cathedral that day. And yet outside, strolling down that major boulevard, were thousands and thousands of Parisians, who, many of whom, of course, were Catholic. In fact, one of our guides showing us around Bordeaux said, we French are all Catholic, but she said, we only go to Mass on Christmas and Easter and when there's a funeral. Voila, she said, as if like, I guess voila means no big deal. That's what it seemed like she was saying. But the whole thing was very sad. This once solidly Catholic country is really littered with empty church buildings decaying from neglect. But in Lourdes, I witnessed people filled with wisdom, filled with a clarity of mind and heart that comes from friendship with the Lord, detached from sensual and bodily pleasures, detached from secular influences. But in Bordeaux, it was the exact opposite. And I could not help but wonder, as I looked at that massive cathedral and all those churches that dotted the skyline of Bordeaux, if this could happen in Bordeaux, what's to say it could not happen here in Spokane? Now, I'm very happy to, I guess, observe that we are much more like Lourdes than Bordeaux right now. But there are no guarantees about what this cathedral family will look like in 100 years. And so it's up to us to take seriously our relationship with worldly goods and secular influences and possessions and wealth and comfort. Once again, they're not bad in and of themselves. I love them just as much as the next guy. But we have to just to keep tabs on how much of a grip they have on our lives and to seek the wisdom of Solomon. Wisdom, once again, is the clarity of mind and heart that comes as a result of a deep friendship with God. This is friendship that we should strive for, because it is this friendship that will keep our parish community much more like the town of Lourdes than the city of Bordeaux.